Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of Titus chapter 1, we were taught that the pastor is to rebuke sinners sharply. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says.
The very theme of the book of Titus is behavior as becometh holiness. And so you need to always, 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 always see, is my behavior becoming holiness? So always, preacher, check and see that what you preach is in line with the Word of God and that it is the Word of God that you're preaching. Check the Old Testament. See that corrupt worship was punished. Why do we think that God will change on judgment must begin at the house of God, because it's not going to change at that point. It'll never change at that point. So you need to understand that, because the culture, the day in which we live, does not change the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, really, if you look at it, when the command is, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Or in Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verses 22 through 24, and he's talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the way we're to be as Christians. How much more the pastor, who is supposed to be representing the Lord Jesus Christ in his preaching, in his teaching, and in all matter of living life. Now look at verse 13 here, then back here in Titus chapter 1. This witness is true. Wherefore, what does God tell them to do after, therefore? Rebuke them. But how does he rebuke them? He says, rebuke them sharply. Now, do you think if God tells a preacher to rebuke sharply, that he should rebuke sharply? Or do you think that we have a better way today? People are not going to like us if we rebuke sharply. Let's imagine you have a little three-year-old, he can walk, and he starts walking out towards the road. You see him, there's cars on that road. You say, come on back, honey. Oh, please don't go out there, honey. No, probably you're going to say, get back here right now. You better stop right now. I'm going to wear you out. Now, why would you say that? Because you love that child. You love that child. Rebuke them sharply. That pastor should have love in his heart to keep those people from losing, if they are saved, eternal reward. If they're not saved, they're warned that they need to be saved. Rebuke them sharply. Now, my question is God right or is God wrong? You know you can't answer. You're kind of like in the way that those old Pharisees and Sadducees were when Christ said, yeah, now I'll ask you one question, you answer me, and then I'll answer yours. They said, we can't answer that, or the people are going to hang us if we do. So they wouldn't answer that, okay? They knew they were in trouble if they answered the way they actually believe. So this witness is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. The Lord doesn't want them to be rebuked so that everybody sees that they're being rebuked. No. He wants them to be rebuked that they might change their life and get things right with God. Now, we live in a day that is not a day that will glorify God in any way, because of the way men are. See, my concern for these last days, we are facing churches that have gone into a contemporary nightclub rock concert mode. Everything seems to be in their preaching is motivation. And if it's not motivation, it's psychology. Even in reaching out and getting people baptized, it's more of, oh, you're identifying with us, not Christ. It's kind of a psychological way in which they go about it to get you involved. But they're going to have this music. They're going to preach against standards. You're going to call us, oh, you're a bunch of legalists because you have standards. Now, this is kind of a crude way to say it, but this actually happened. A preacher, and it's not me, that had a Christian college and a Christian school. They had a school come into their gymnasium, and their cheerleaders were dressed in a way that was, if I described it scripturally, it's a way in which the harlot's dressed, the attire of a harlot, in that it's provocative, and it emphasized the body, and especially when they were jumping around and showing themselves. The preacher came in after the game had already started and saw them. He stopped the game. He told that director from the other school, said, hey, we sent you a letter and told you how the cheerleaders ought to be, and you have broken that. Now, we're not going to have this game, or they're going to have to cover themselves. And that man said, you are a legalist, to the preacher. Now, I think if you're a preacher and you've not been called a legalist, then you're probably not a fundamental Bible believer. But he said that to the preacher. Preacher said, okay, let me do this. Have your cheerleaders take all their clothes off and we'll have them cheer up. He says, no, that's stupid. He says, then you're a legalist. And it kind of shocked that guy. I don't think it probably changed him, but at least it shocked him enough to say, not to say anything else. But yet, I liked what the preacher did. He told him, bring out covers for these girls to cover up their legs and so forth, and let them sit there, and let's bring them the best food that we can find around here, and let's take care of these girls, and let's talk to them, be very nice to them. People did. By the time they left, they said those girls were upset with their administrator more than they were with the place where they were, because they'd been warned, they'd been told about it, and all this served to do was to embarrass his girls in front of a crowd of people. Now, I don't know that I would go that far, but I don't know that he was wrong either. But he told them. Now, my concern then for these last days, and folks, we're living in the last days, is that we stand when the greatest attacks come, and they do come, and it is far more difficult because now you have even former fundamentalists who once had standards, had all this other stuff, then they did their apology tour, saying, oh, I was a legalist, I didn't know it, I didn't mean that, but I've learned better now, and I don't do that now. Now they don't do it anymore. They're just rock and roll stars, too. They're immodest, too. They're self-promoting, too. Yeah, they're not that way. Now, today, we see a government where they talk about vaccines and all that of, okay, we are going to force you. We're going to mandate it, and you have to get it. And we're going to do this. We're going to do that to you. And now they talk about taking away your weapons to protect yourself. They talk about taxing you more and not allowing you to do this, do that. If you don't, about losing your jobs. I mean, that sounds just like in the tribulation, doesn't it? I believe that we're living it here in the last days. And so, it's just getting harder and harder and harder and harder. So, what we must change is going back to the ways of righteousness, to the old paths, the old ways. And really, they're the right ways. And the Bible says the old paths, but it's the right ways, instead of the rays of worldliness. You say, now, preacher, would you go into that and explain that? Okay, let me just do it this way. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says this, thus saith the Lord. Now, who says this? The Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Now, what's that tell me? When I stop that point for just a moment to think about that, the old paths, it means they've gotten away from what they once stood for, the way they once walked. Now it's different. They've gone along with the culture. So ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Well, shortly after that, they lose their country. They're in captivity. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31 says this way, the prophets prophesy falsely. You've got grace, you've got liberty to drink. You've got grace, you've got liberty to skip church. You've got grace, you've got liberty to do this, to smoke, to do drugs, to do whatever, you know. You've got grace and liberty. Now they're even having justification of homosexual marriage. Well, that's the way God made them. No, God didn't make them that way. That is a lie out of hell, by the way. And so prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, not God's ways. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Yeah, when God comes and he judges you and he judges your church and he judges, because judgment begins at the house of God, he judges your country, then what are you going to do? Now, there's not much you can do then when you've taken the stand on the wrong side. Now look, well, if we don't do this, and our church numbers are going to go down, this is going to go down, that's going to go down. That's the broad way. It's not the straight way. They have no longer walked with God. They're in the broad way. Jesus, by their standard, would have been a failure in his life on earth. You say, how's that? How was Jesus a failure in their mind? Well, using the same standard, because we're supposed to be Christ-like. Is that what a Christian is? Christ-like? Okay. His first feeding, he has 5,000. The next feeding is 4,000. So somewhere along the line, he's lost 1,000. He has 120. Then he's down to the 12. And then the 12 flee. And he's alone. In 3.5 years in his ministry, he goes from 5,000 to zero. People call that a failure.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on this firm foundation for the Bible stands. I will